Pastor Ray Bentley says we should be encouraged by the fact that our sovereign God is in control of our lives.
Not only is he on the throne in what's happening in the Middle East, and not only is he on the throne for what's happening in Washington and London and Tokyo and wherever else, but more importantly for you, God is totally, absolutely on the throne in every area and detail of your life. You know why? Because he loves you.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God is sovereign over all. He's sovereign over our lives, over our families, our communities, even over those who serve as our governmental leaders. Today, Pastor Ray shows us God's sovereignty over the most powerful king in the world at that time. We'll see how God humbled this exalted man. Let's listen.
Okay, you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. He was given this terrifying dream. And in the dream, it was the image of a man, which is kind of representative of man's government, with a head of gold ending with legs of iron and mixed with clay. And Daniel chapter 3, in defiance of that dream, Nebuchadnezzar made a 90-foot statue of himself overlaid with gold. And he just wanted the whole world to worship him as a god. It's interesting, three Jewish teenagers in rebellion said, we're not going to bow. The king said, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. And the teenagers basically said, no, you don't understand. If we do bow, we will burn. But if we don't bow, we can't burn. Our God is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us from that fiery furnace, which he's able to do, we are not going to bow down. So Nebuchadnezzar, in a fury and a rage, throws them into the fire, and then he looks to see what happens. The fire being so hot, the guys that threw him in are burnt to a crisp. And he says, didn't we send three men into the flames? He said, why do I see four men walking and the fourth looks like the Son of God? And here was this beautiful manifestation there within the fire of the presence of the Lord. And so he calls them out. Well, we're now in chapter 4, so the story, the drama continues. By the way, this is really the last chapter that we will see Nebuchadnezzar. So begin with me in verse 1 of chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. Now just stop there for a second. This, I don't know if you realize, this is a huge change for this guy. Because here's a guy who thought he was a human god, had made a 90-foot statue of himself. Now he is making a decree, and in this decree, he is honoring the God of heaven. Rather than saying, I mean, the reason he made that 90-foot statue in gold was to say, no, that dream, Daniel, and your interpretation from your God is wrong. Yes, head of gold, and then and arms and chest of gold, and belly and thighs of gold, and legs of gold, and feet of gold, and toes of gold, 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 gold. Babylon from today and forever. My kingdom will never end. You know, that was his motto. Now all of a sudden, look at in verse 1, he says, peace be multiplied to you. That doesn't sound like the same dictator, does it? That sounds like a believer. Peace. I want peace. This is the guy that threw the teenagers into the fiery furnace. And now he's saying, peace, peace be multiplied to you. And then he says, I want to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. He is lifting up God, the God of heaven. And then he starts, not only does he want to lift him up, he starts worshiping the Lord. How great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Whoa, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, I thought your kingdom was forever. No, he has changed his tune. And now we have the third time that God is going to speak to this king. The third time. He has another dream. I bet he was excited about that. He says, I saw a dream which made me afraid. And the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. He's anxious. He's worried. He says, therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last, Daniel came before me, and his name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, so here's the next dream, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached all the way into the heavens, Daniel. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed. It's almost like green eggs and ham a little bit, if you just, you know, a kind of lilting little rhyme. I saw in the visions of my head while upon my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. That is an Old Testament name for a member of what we would call the angels. And he cried. Here's what the Holy One said. Chop down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruits. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave a little stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of an animal or a beast. And let seven times or seasons or 7 years pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. In order that, and here's how some people in the world would read this, in order that God might punish the evildoers, the bad people. No. What did the Holy One say? In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. And yet even the lowest of men, God loves, disturbs their dreams, sends visions of angels saying, yeah, you're the biggest, baddest, most powerful man on the earth, but I'm going to chop you down. Leave a little stump, basically meaning I'm going to let you live, but it's not going to be a lovely experience. I'll let the dew of the morning come, meaning, you know, you'll have food and water. You'll survive. But at the same time, I'm going to change your heart. Since you've been running away from me, Nebuchadnezzar, and you've been acting more and more selfishly, and your physical appetites, you've been acting like an animal. I'm going to go ahead and give you the full heart of an animal. But unfortunately, when you have the heart of an animal, you start living like an insane person. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to lose your sanity. And that's exactly what's going to happen now to Nebuchadnezzar. So that's the dream that he had. So verse 18, now we're back to King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, remember that's Daniel's name, declare its interpretation. Now, I'm sure the king had some idea from the last dream, and interpretation was not good for him. He probably has the idea that this tree that he really liked and was very beautiful and big and tall and powerful, kind of like him, gets chopped down. That doesn't sound good. How many would agree that's probably not a good thing? If it's not good for the tree, it's not going to be good for Nebuchadnezzar. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Daniel, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. Another little side note, if you are taking notes at all tonight, verse 18. There is no other religion, no other God who knows and reveals the future. There is only our God. None of the other holy books have prophecy in them. Why? Because they have nothing to prophesy. There's only one God. Only He not only knows the future, He declares it beforehand, and He decrees it, and He works within it sovereignly, providentially, to accomplish everything He wants to do. And that's a good thing for us to be reminded of tonight. Sometimes we look at the world and the way you listen to the news, the world's media always wants to look at the bad news. Some of you may be a little anxious of what's happening in the world and so forth and so on. Let me give you this very, very, very good news. God is on the throne tonight. Not only is He on the throne in what's happening in the Middle East, and not only is He on the throne for what's happening in Washington and London and Tokyo and wherever else, but more importantly for you, God is totally, absolutely, completely on the throne in every area and detail of your life. You know why? Because He loves you. If He loved Nebuchadnezzar so much, who was the most, arrogant, selfish, prideful, He loved him, spoke to him, reached out to him, gave him not just one, not even just two, but chance after chance, please, please turn to me. Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be destroyed. In fact, you are that close. There's a stump left of you. You think you're a tree so powerful, but in a moment you will be cut down. And yet even physical death is not the worst, because it's that spiritual death that brings that ultimately eternal separation from God. You are that close to being separated from God, Nebuchadnezzar. But I'm going to leave you a stump. I'm going to leave you a little space of time. I'm going to leave you a little chance. Now, look at verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and look at this. Oh, I love this verse. Daniel was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. And so the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. One interpretation says that Daniel, when he got, he prayed, Dear Lord, please show me the king's dream, and then give me its meaning. And when God supernaturally spoke to him, gave him the meaning of it in his mind, Daniel was so emotionally charged. He was so grieved at what was going to happen and what it was going to mean for Nebuchadnezzar, he couldn't speak for an hour. You know what that tells me about Daniel? Daniel, well, number one, it tells me that he was a man after God's own heart. It tells me he was a deeply spiritual man and a loving man. But it also tells me, even with this guy, and Daniel was there when the guy made, the 90-foot statue and whatever, I believe that Daniel had an affection, a human, emotional affection for this crazy pagan Gentile king, Nebuchadnezzar. And when he saw what was going to happen to him, he couldn't speak. And he said, oh, may this not be for you, king. And then in verse 20, when he could speak, so we're an hour later, the tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king. Just like that. Remember that image of a man? It was you. So here's a pagan king. All of his dreams are about himself. Who have grown and become strong, for you, your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, I think this may have been the first time in Nebuchadnezzar's life that he realized there's more going on than what meets the eye here in this earthly scene. There was a watcher. The spiritual world is real, Nebuchadnezzar. And one of the holy ones came down from heaven, saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till 7 seasons pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the animals of the field. And they will make you eat grass like an ox. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 seasons or 7 years. You're gonna go insane for 7 years till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you. Now that's gracious. God could have said, okay, I'm picking you up like a little flea. Woo, you're going over here. And now you are the king of this desert blossom in the middle of nowhere. But he says, no, you're gonna go nuts for 7 years, but I'm gonna reserve your place as the king of the Babylonian Empire for 7 years. Why? Because God knew that in the 7 years, there would be a transformation. And thus, with repentance, God would restore. Therefore, O king, verse 27, let my advice be acceptable to you. So here's Daniel's advice. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your sins by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Daniel's advice, repent. You're doomed. The way you're headed, and by saying that he had no care for the poor, it shows that Nebuchadnezzar, he knew there were suffering people, and he knew there were poor people, and he could have cared less. Hey, that's their lot in life. They must not be a god like me. And he let them lie where they were. So Daniel says, you need to repent. And God gave a space of time to repent. Look at this in verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he's walking about the royal palace of Babylon. Okay, now think of this. Nothing happens to him for a year. Daniel told me I was gonna go nuts. But look, the next day, he's kind of worried the first night, can't sleep. Am I nuts? I don't think I'm nuts. I'm not nuts. I'm fine. And so he was just Nebuchadnezzar. And a week goes by, he's still not crazy. Month goes by, no problem. 2 months, 3 months goes by, 6 months. All of a sudden, he's getting a little cocky. Maybe your God isn't all that. And maybe I am all that. As it goes on and on, month after month, rather than repenting, rather than being compassionate, rather than acknowledging maybe there are some things that are very egotistical and selfish and uncaring in my life and I need to change the whole kingdom. Rather than that, well, let's just see what he does. In verse 30, after 12 months, this is what the king decided. God gave him space to repent. 12 months later, the king spoke saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Ooh, verse 31, read it fast. While the word was still in the king's mouth, he hadn't even finished talking, saying what a great guy he was. A voice fell from heaven, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like the ox. And 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and he started eating grass like an ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers. You know how people that don't take care of themselves, walking along the streets, mumbling to themselves, that's what happened. And his nails like bird's claws. He went nuts. 12 months later, God gave a space of time. Okay, let's go to Noah. Space of time, repent, repent, repent. Nah, we're not going to repent. Finally, judgment. Jonah, repent, repent. God gives a space of time to repent. And now, if you don't repent, then this is what happens. So for 7 years, this guy lost his mind. And by the way, in the Psalms it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is a certain irrationality, there's a certain insanity that grabs hold of a person's mind, psyche, spirit, emotional life, especially when you act like you're a god. Now, most people today don't make 90-foot statues of themselves in gold, but there are, how many of you know somebody or have known somebody in the past who acted like they were God and the universe revolved around them? We've all known people. You don't need to raise your hands or point. Please, especially don't point. No, that's not good. There are people like that. But you know what? Let me just give this as a loving, pleading, gentle reminder. Those who would deny God and persist in that way will reach a level of irrationality that will start lend to insanity. There's no other way of saying it. You'll lose your mind. You'll start acting totally irrational. And even, you know, normal people look and go, man, you're nuts. What are you doing? You're self-destructing. And that's exactly what happens to him. Now, verse 34, when we wrap it up. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. What does an oxen do? Its head is always down. 7 years later, just like God had told him, I lifted my eyes to heaven. So he still looks like a wild, crazy, insane man. But for the first time, instead of looking down or looking at himself, he looks up, which is an Old Testament way of saying he was praying. Is all of a sudden, wow, you are in charge. You are powerful. What you say does come to pass. And my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. And I love this in verse 34. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me. And as for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. God gave everything back. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now, I love this, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride. I could add here, I know by personal experience, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, he is able to put down. God is all powerful. And God, who loves us, sometimes allows us to eat humble pie before we eat heavenly pie.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with a good look at the circuitous spiritual journey of King Nebuchadnezzar. It's good we can learn from his life without having to experience what he experienced. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study here on Maranatha Radio, get in touch and ask for The Healing of the Whole World. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Again, the title, The Healing of the Whole World. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then we want to make sure you know about Pastor Ray's new book. It's called The Holy Land Key. It's an eye-opening look at Bible prophecy, but it goes deeper than what you've read before.
It is an examination of prophecy that goes beyond the clock on the wall and speculative timelines. You will meet the people the Old Testament prophets actually saw in the future and learn the historical context of prophecy and experience the journey of suffering and triumph lived by God's people over the centuries.
The title is The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan is revealed in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray reveals significant prophetic patterns discovered in the lunar cycle. Dr. David Jeremiah says of the book, while on vacation, I had the privilege to read Ray Bentley's book on Israel. I am not a stranger to the Holy Land, having been there many times, but I learned so many things about Israel and God's people that I did not know. The book reads like an adventure story. It causes you to look over your shoulder at God's continued blessing upon his people and to look forward to the many prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. When you are finished with this read, you will want to book a tour of Israel. Get a copy for yourself. It's called The Holy Land Key. Available now at our online store at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.